Good evening. It appears that our number's down just a little bit this evening, but it's up in one way in that we have the pleasure of the company of Miss Marie. It's good to be able to see her out and about, and it's always great when someone has been unable to be out for a while, and when they finally are able to be back out amongst us, it's a great and wonderful thing. And I'm going to just go ahead and get rid of this right now before I sweat it up too much. The scriptures say that you're to earn that men are to earn their keep by the sweat of their brow, and I never thought the preachers could do that, but that's something that some of us do if we're just standing still. So I guess I can earn my bread by just not doing anything if the temperature's just right. But we began studying this morning on the area of the role of women in the church and looking at the things that we have in the scriptures, and we started out by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verses 34 and 35, and there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verses 11 through 12, and that these were passages that are used by many to show, as it does show, that women are not to usurp authority over man, they're not to teach over man, that they're to keep silent in the congregation when they're gathered together in a worship setting. But oftentimes we, as I mentioned this morning, leave it behind at that. We just let it go, and the women get the idea, well, there's just nothing I can do. You know, I, as we mentioned this morning, I can't preach, can't teach, can't wait on the Lord's table, can't do any of these things. So what's really my purpose? What's my role? And the reason for the lesson this morning was so that we can learn what exactly there is that a woman can do in the Lord's church. And I believe that, I hope that you have come to the same conclusion that I have so far in studying this lesson, that there's a great and wonderful role that can be filled only by the women, and they can fulfill this role in ways that men cannot. And we began this morning by looking at the area of service. And we looked at Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, who was one that was very well known for the wonderful deeds of charity and kindness that she had done. That even when she died, they missed her so much that they sent off for Peter and had him come so that he could raise her from the dead and they could continue to enjoy the wonderful works that she had done. We also looked at Lydia, how just immediately after having obeyed the gospel, she opened up her home to the preacher, the Apostle Paul, and those that were with him, that he could come in and cared for him. And it appears, as we noted, that she provided a place for the congregation to meet from time to time. We also looked in Acts chapter 12 and verse 12 at Mary, the mother of John Mark, and how that she opened up her home during a very difficult period of time for the Lord's church in Jerusalem. A time when one of the leaders of the Lord's church in Jerusalem, James, the brother of John, one of the 12 apostles, was put to death, and Peter was being held for that exact same fate, and she gathered together the members of the Lord's church. It says there that there were many that were gathered together there in verse 12. She gathered them together to pray on behalf of the Apostle Peter, and so here we can see the strength of a woman that really surpassed the strength of the men, that she was willing to see the need and do what was necessary in gathering these people together in this difficult and dark period of time. We noted also that in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, that as Paul begins this long list of individuals that he has a great appreciation for and that have done good works for him or for other congregations, he mentions at the top of that list, Phoebe. And going back to Romans chapter 16, verse 1, it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has been a helper to many, and of myself as well. And so this woman had obviously done a great number of acts for the Apostle Paul and for the church there in Cenchrea, where Paul probably had met her, and that she was an effective worker in what she was doing. And Paul was encouraging the Christians there in Rome to welcome her in and to help her in whatever way that they can. And we close the lesson this morning by looking at two individuals rather quickly. Nympha, that is mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 in verse 15, as someone who hosted the church in her home, and that this was something that she could do. And we also looked at Prisca, or Priscilla, as she's a little bit more well known, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, that she, along with her husband Aquila, was hosting the church in their home. And so this was just one avenue of service, and there are many other ways that you can go about this work of service and can be a great aid to the Lord's church. Many of these churches would not have been able to do what they were doing had it not been for these women taking these roles willingly and fulfilling them to the best of their ability. Now, as we continue our study this evening, we want to go on to something that a lot of people think, well, women can't do, and that's the area of evangelism. As we look at the area of evangelism, we always think of an evangelist as what? As male. We think of the Apostle Paul. We think of Timothy. We think of Titus. We think of Peter and James and John and Jude and all these other individuals that were going out and preaching the gospel. Philip is another evangelist that we oftentimes think of. But you know, there were female evangelists as well. Those that went about preaching and teaching the gospel, but in a proper respect that they should. And so the first one we want to look at is the one that we looked at the least this morning, Priscilla. As we look at Priscilla, you might turn over to the book of Acts in the 18th chapter. And we're going to be reading a little bit from there to try to learn a little bit more about this woman, Priscilla, and all that she was about trying to do in serving the Lord. And in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, we are introduced to Priscilla and her husband. In Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, it says, "After these things, he left Athens," this he being the Apostle Paul, "and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers." Now, this is just your typical thing. You find someone, especially when you're going into a foreign place and you don't really know anyone, what do you usually gravitate to? Those that are of a similar profession or have similar lives. And so because these Jews here, Priscilla and Aquila, and we don't read that at this time necessarily they were Christians, but we can know by reading late in the chapter that at some point they became children of God. But Paul is spending time with them, and it seems that they even traveled with him on a portion of his journey. If you go further down to verse 18, in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 18, we read that Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Cenchrea he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. They came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now, he being the Apostle Paul, them being Priscilla and Aquila. And so they travel with Paul for a period of time, and you can just imagine if Paul was the means of them learning of the gospel and learning the truth that they as Jews had been waiting on all of their lives, then they wanted to spend some more time with him and learn more from this apostle. And so they traveled with him and spent time with him. And as we continue reading, Paul leaving them at Ephesus and goes on to Caesarea and Antioch and on up back around through Galatia. But if you go on down to verse 24, we pick up the story of Priscilla and Aquila again. And this is where we can see that Priscilla was an effective evangelist of the gospel. If you go down to Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 24, it says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. And he was mighty in the Scriptures." Now let's understand, these Scriptures that he's mighty in are the Scriptures of the Old Testament. There were no New Testament documents other than perhaps an epistle or two of the Apostle Paul that he could be mighty in. It says, "This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him." Note, they took him aside. And you can insert that "they" in the explaining. "Explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." Now, here we can see the great and wonderful work that women can do in aiding their husbands in preaching and teaching the gospel. It is through the work of Priscilla as well as Aquila that this mighty preacher of the gospel, Apollos, learned the truth. Learned further all the things that he needed to know that he could go out and become an effective worker. That he could greatly go out and help those who believe through grace, powerfully demonstrating by the Scriptures, refuting the doctrines of the Jews. His work would have been useless had it not been for Aquila and Priscilla and them showing him the way of God more accurately. And so women, don't sit there and go, well, I can't teach. I can't teach anyone. Here we can see that in whatever way, Priscilla was a very active part of this dynamic teaching that led to the wonderful preaching of the Apollos. And we can see that Apollos, if you go on and read in the letter to the church in Corinth, as the Apostle Paul is writing there, that Apollos was a very effective worker there. And that many people thought very highly of him there. Now that kind of came to a fault because some were saying, I am of Paul, and others I am of Apollos, and others I am of Cephas. But we can see the great work that he went on to do, and this is primarily because of the teaching of a woman along with her husband. And so don't ever underestimate your worth as a worker in the kingdom of God. And as we look at Priscilla, we can note further the great praise that the Apostle Paul had for her that he mentions in his letter to the Christians in Rome. If you look over in Romans chapter 16, let's begin reading there in verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also to all the churches of the Gentiles." He didn't say this just to Aquila. You see, Paul gives just as much praise. He gives just as much thanks to Prisca or Priscilla as he does to Aquila. And so don't ever underestimate your worth as a worker in the kingdom of God, even in the area of evangelism. But going along with that, in the area of evangelism, looking at it more from the perspective of teaching and the results of your teaching, we can go over and look at two women, Lois and Eunice. Now, if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we have the Apostle Paul writing to this young preacher, a preacher that he was very closely associated with, that possibly he had converted and had spent a lot of time with him. And so he had a great love for this young man and the work that he was doing. But look at what the Apostle Paul says. Look where all of the knowledge and faith that Timothy has, look at where it comes from. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Paul didn't say, "I'm mindful of the great faith that is within you through my teaching," did he? He didn't say, "Because of the great example that I have shown you and all the things that I have taught you and all the areas that I have instructed you and guided you in, that's why your faith is so great." He understood that it came from Timothy's mother and from Timothy's grandmother. And so here we can see that these two women are yet another example of a preacher who is what he is solely because of the strong guidance and teaching of a woman. The faith that Timothy had within him did not come from the teachings of the Apostle Paul, but from his mother and from his grandmother. Paul writes about this further in his second epistle to Timothy. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, there beginning in verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Those sacred writings are the writings of the Old Testament. And it was these writings that Timothy's mother and grandmother had grounded him in, that they had spent time teaching him. We know it wasn't his father. His father was a Gentile, would have cared less about the Jewish faith and the Jewish writings. And so everything that Timothy knew about God, everything Timothy knew about the Scriptures, everything that he had built his faith upon, came not from a man, but from his mother and from his grandmother. And so do you see the great work that can be done as a woman in the Lord's church? the great responsibility that is placed upon us. These women perhaps understood better than anybody else the truth of the statement, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Only we could change it to say, the hand that rocks the cradle sends the gospel out. Timothy would not have been as an effective teacher as he was. His faith would not have been as great as it was had it not been for his mother and his grandmother. And so understand the great responsibility that you have. And this extends beyond your sons and your grandsons. We have a good number of women here that are willing to teach Bible classes. And how many of us could sit there and think of some woman that taught us in Bible class that it stuck with us probably more than things that some of the men that taught us? Do you remember your Bible class teachers when you were young? It's hard for me to forget mine. Mine was my mother pretty much all of my life until I was a little bit older. Then it was my dad. I didn't really get to experience other Bible class teachers until I was up in high school. But, you know, I remember going to vacation Bible schools and such and remembering some of the women who taught and the great effect that it had. And so we can see the great responsibility that we have, that the women have. And once again, never underestimate the influence that you can have in teaching the young men of the congregation or teaching your sons. They are the preachers of the next generation. They are the elders of the Lord's church in the next generation. They are the deacons. They are the leaders of the Lord's church. And what they have begins with what you bestow upon them. Now, as we see further in this, instructing those that are younger, the next group of people that we want to look at are the older women. If you look with me in Titus chapter 2, in Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is sending this letter to another young preacher, and he's instructing him in the ways that he is to instruct those that he's preaching to. And in verse 3, he begins talking about how Titus should speak to the older women, the instructions that he should give to them. He says, "Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored." And so go back and look there in verse 3 and see once again that this is the older women are being given the responsibility to teach the younger women. Here, like Timothy's mother and grandmother, we can see the great influence of women. And Paul specifically tells Titus to teach the older women, to encourage the young women in things that are in desperate need today, just as it was then. Look at the cases of divorce. What do we oftentimes hear? "I just don't love them anymore." The biggest phrase in Hollywood is irreconcilable differences. They jump into marriage and quickly jump out. If one lasts more than 3 years, it's a record-long Hollywood marriage, and it's the stuff of news. "Can't believe this couple has been together this long. We didn't think they would make it." When we look at abortion today, "It's my choice. It's my body." Well, what about the choice of the child? What about the choice of the body that is within you, the person that is within you? And so here we can see the need, especially a great need, for the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. I'm afraid that there's been a breakdown somewhere. And my question is, where are the older women? What happened to them? They used to be a prevalent part of the Lord's church, didn't they? Do you remember ladies' Bible classes? It used to be every congregation had a ladies' Bible class where one of the older women would teach the younger women. You don't hear about them anymore, do you? I'm going to tell you, in the 11 years of preaching that I've done, I've only known of two, and they never lasted more than a couple of months. Now, there's a problem on somebody's part. Now, I'm not going to place it all upon the older women, because I do know that there are sometimes older women who are willing to teach, but younger women who are unwilling to devote the time to listen. We think we know it all sometimes. We don't realize how much we can learn from those that are older. And so we need to have the older women that used to be involved in the Lord's church, they need to get back to guiding the young women of the Lord's church. But sadly, it appears to be in decline. Once again, don't ever underestimate the value that you are to a local congregation, the great work that you can be doing in teaching our young men, in teaching our young women, in the things that they need that will serve them well for the rest of their lives and that will keep the Lord's church faithful in generations to come. You know the old saying, the Lord's church is always one generation away from apostasy. That's how close we are to falling prey to false doctrines, to false teachings. And it begins at home in teaching our children. It follows up in our Bible classes. So let's make sure that as men and women, we're doing what we can in preaching the gospel to them, instilling in them a love for the Word of God, in doing what we can. Now the last one that we want to look at in this area of evangelism and teaching is really looking more at the idea of having talents and using them in a way that is scripturally correct. In Acts chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, we read about the daughters of Philip. And we're not told very much at all about them, but we can understand from the Scriptures that they have this gift and that they had to have used it correctly. In Acts chapter 21, beginning in verse 8, it reads, "Now on the next day we left and came to Caesarea, and entering the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven." Now that one of the seven is going all the way back to Acts chapter 6. When he was one of the seven chosen with Stephen and others, who was one of the seven, and we stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. And so in this last example, we can see that a woman can have a gift. Now I understand that their gift was of a spiritual nature, but I believe we can make the same application to women who have a gift in a physical way, and in the way that we can have it, who have a talent and ability. And here we can see that they were using this talent, this ability, without usurping the authority of the man. And so whatever your talent might be, we can know that the church in Caesarea benefited by the presence of these four women and their prophesying abilities. And whatever your talent might be, make sure that you're using it. Don't let it go to waste just because you can't use it in the ways that you want to. I know that some women can probably preach better than a lot of men. I'm going to tell you, some of the best sermons I ever heard come not from the pulpit, but from women. My grandmother, my mother, various other older women in the Lord's church that have instructed me in various ways, always in keeping proper respect for authority, even though I didn't think that I had any right to have authority over them. Because I was an older young man, they kept it in the right perspective, but they taught me much. And so let's make sure that if we have this ability to teach the gospel, that we use it to the furthest that we can. And the last thing we want to talk about is just really more kind of a general category that encompasses all of these things, or maybe adds to that, and that is laborers in the local church. In Romans chapter 16, as I've mentioned, Paul gives a very lengthy list of individuals that meant a lot to him, that had helped him in various ways. And it's interesting to note that many of them, quite a few, are women. In Romans chapter 16, let's begin reading there in verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, but who also were in Christ before me. And greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes," I don't care how much you practice these, you still don't get them out the way you want, "Petrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." Now in this list, as I mentioned, there were several women that the Apostle Paul thought worthy of special note. And these were those that had helped the Lord's church in various ways. The first one we read about was Mary, who had worked with the church in Rome. We don't know really in what way, but she was obviously someone who was very helpful in that, and Paul thought her worthy of mention. We read also of Tryphena and Tryphosa, who were workers in the Lord. Persis, a beloved sister, who, as he mentioned, had worked hard for the church. And so these individuals are very important to the Apostle Paul and show the importance of women in the local church. As we continue on, we read of Rufus's mother. And this is where reading from other translations can really help you to further understand this. If you read from the English Standard Version, we can see that Rufus's mother had really been as a mother to the Apostle Paul. If you look there, it says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." And so as we look at this, we can see that this was a woman that meant a lot to the Apostle Paul. Paul may not have had his mother around. He had lived away from home for quite some time, we can know for sure. And so he was not able to see his mother. And as I mentioned this morning, it's great to know that there's someone who loves you and cares for you in a motherly way when you're far away from your family. And this is a wonderful role that can be used. And it's interesting to note that this Rufus's mother was quite possibly the wife of Simon of Cyrene, who bore the cross of Christ. In Mark chapter 15, there in verse 21, we can read that this Simon of Cyrene, his children were Alexander and Rufus. And so it's quite possible that she was that same woman that maybe had seen her husband carry the cross of Christ and had been serving the Lord throughout all of that time. And he also mentions Julia and the sister of Nereus. And all of these are those that the Apostle Paul felt worthy of making mention, that had been a great help to him and had been a great help to the church. And you know, when I look back in the congregations that I've worked in and such, you know, as you think, there's just as many women there that were great helpers in the Lord's work as there are men. And the thing that I want to encourage the women here in is to make sure that you are among those women who see the role that you're in and take advantage of that, that don't just sit back and go, "Well, I can't preach the gospel and I can't lead singing." And yes, I believe that probably some of you could probably sing better than we do and possibly know music better and could lead it better, but you can help the song leading and you can serve the Lord in your own way. And let's look at two more groups of people in Philippians chapter 4. Here we can find something that's really important for members of the Lord's church today. In Philippians chapter 4, we read of Euodia and Syntyche. And beginning there in verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." The Apostle Paul says that these individuals, Euodia and Syntyche, had helped him very effectively, that their names were in the book of life, but there was a need that even though the Apostle Paul is clear that he had benefited from their labors and was they were very useful in the service to the Apostle Paul, that their service would not be complete, it would not be full, unless they learned to live in harmony in the Lord. You know, this is not just a trait we find among women. We men tend to want to butt heads with one another from time to time, or we think we can do it better, and therefore we try and do it, and we usually are better off leaving it to the other fellow. And so as we have these abilities, if you see someone else that has the ability to do the things that you can do, share the load with them. Encourage them by letting them do the work that they can. And as we close our lesson this evening, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10. And here we can see that if you do the things that the Apostle Paul has taught, if you follow in the example that has been set by each of these women that we have looked at today, you will be among those that are widows indeed. And the Apostle Paul places them in a special place in that they can receive help from the Lord's church. But note in their qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 10, the works that you can do as a young woman, as a middle-aged woman, as an older woman, he says, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. Now, when you look at this passage here, we can see every single woman that we've talked about today. You can see Tabitha and Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, in that she assisted those who were in distress. She helped the widows that were in need by making garments for them. We can see those that have shown hospitality. We've looked at Lydia and Priscilla and others that took people into their homes and offered hospitality to the Lord's congregation in their area. We have seen others who have devoted themselves to every good work. The list is just so long. And this, once again, illustrates more of the service and work that a woman can do that is beneficial to the Lord's congregation. And so as we look at these things, and this lesson is devoted mainly to the women, but as with all things from the Scriptures, it can have application to us as men as well. Whatever we can do, the Scriptures say, do it heartily as to the Lord. Whatever abilities that we have, whether we be male or female, let's make sure that we're using them to the fullest of our ability. I hope that the women here can see the great amount of work that can be done that really only a woman can fulfill, that men just cannot do in the same way. We can't show the same compassion. We can't speak of things in the same way. You have understanding that we can't even begin to comprehend. And so there is a great work that can be done here by the women. And like the old saying, behind every good man, there is a better woman. And I believe that behind every good congregation, there is a good number of strong Christian women who understand the labors that they are to be about doing as children of God. And I hope and pray that we will all find those women here in this congregation. We have several. I see a bunch of them out here tonight that have a desire to serve the Lord and a desire to help in whatever way. And as we do with the young men that help with the reading and the leading of the songs and such, we want to encourage you to go on to even greater service to the Lord. But perhaps you're here this evening and you have not obeyed the gospel. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, then you cannot be about the work that perhaps you have the abilities to do. You can't serve God as fully as you might desire. But you can come forward this night. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and if you repent of your sins, you can come forward confessing that belief, repenting of your sins, being buried in baptism. This time has been left for you. The Lord has given us this hour of this day if you need to turn to the Lord. But perhaps you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, but you haven't remained faithful. Perhaps you haven't been using the abilities that God has blessed you with. You remember the parable of the talents? And the fellow with the 5 talents went out and put his to use and gained 5 more. And the fellow with the 2 talents went out and put his to use and gained 2 more. And the fellow with 1 talent went out and dug a hole in the ground, stuck in a handkerchief, and buried it. And what did the Lord say? He said, "Depart from me, you wicked and lazy or slothful servant, into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." If you have abilities, make sure that you're using them, that you are increasing in them. That's what the Lord expects of you. And whatever it is that you might need to return to the Lord or to obey the gospel, do so now as we stand and as we sing.